Welcome back to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm joined by a beautiful guest that my partner has spoken so highly of, and I've been very, very looking forward to this podcast and this conversation. She's an author of a book called More Than Skin Deep, The Silent Soul Shaper, where she shares her journey where she suffered from an autoimmune disease, literally on the borderline of losing her life, to recovering, growing, developing, shaping herself into the person that she is today, sharing her journey with so many people and inspiring others to just live an incredible, inspired life. And I'm really looking forward to hearing your journey. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome the beautiful Jess Mann. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Lewis.
I'm looking forward to this. So.
All right. Well, do you want me to just, you go first.
I was speaking to Jess just before this about sharing her journey with us. I'm actually quite fresh to Jess. My partner, Georgia, and her dance together at a dance venue that they go to. And she's spoken so highly. Georgia's read your book, and she couldn't put the fucking thing down. Like, she was so obsessed about it. She just enjoyed everything about it. So I'm looking forward to actually hearing it. I have not read the book, so I would love to hear, I guess, your journey, Jess, outside of the book, and obviously we'll probably dive into that today. And I'd love to learn more about you and how you have this beautiful energy and attitude and perspective on the world when you've gone through something that literally almost took your life. And the thing that I'm looking forward to hearing is why you made that decision to be who you are today versus using it as an excuse to hold you back. And that's the part I'd love to hear about later. But Jess, please share with us. Who are you? Tell us about you and how'd you get to where you are today?
Yeah, so my name's Jess, and I think I had a pretty, not that we all have normal lives, but my life was pretty regular up until, I think, the pivoting point was I was 19 years old and freshly out of school, first year of university, brand new boyfriend, first boyfriend, and I started developing these symptoms of, it was basically just chronic diarrhea. I assumed, we'd just been to Thailand, my partner and I, so I assumed it was a Bali belly, whatever they call it, and came back and did 3 courses of antibiotics and no improvement. I was at that point too embarrassed to go back and say, hey, it's not working. So suffered in silence for about a year, wow. Lost a hell of a lot of weight, eventually stopped eating. And my parents kind of realized that I was being very quiet about what was happening in my life and forced me to go back to the doctor. And I have always been pretty prone to anxiety. So when I saw my doctor, he was like, oh, you know what? It's probably just your mind, but we're going to put you in for a colonoscopy anyway. At that point, I was losing a lot of blood in my poo as well. So that's what kind of forced me to go to the doctor, because I thought, oh, instantly you go to, oh my gosh, I'm dying. So I went to the doctor, he booked me in for a colonoscopy, and I woke up from my colonoscopy with a diagnosis of ulcerative colitis. I had never heard of the disease.
Can you say that again?
Say it again. Slowly, yeah. Ulcerative colitis.
Ulcerative colitis. Oh my.
Yeah, it sits under the umbrella of inflammatory bowel disease with Crohn's disease as well. Mm. So Crohn's is it's better known, but so they're both very similar, sit under the same umbrella. So had no idea what it was called.
What's the difference between, say, Crohn's and your one?
Yeah, so Crohn's can affect you from basically the throat down to your rectum, and ulcerative colitis is called, it's just large intestine. Yep. What they find though is that Crohn's, you won't really get like your whole throat to rectum infected, whereas ulcerative colitis, a lot of the cases, because it's so concentrated, the symptoms tend to be quite intense, and a lot of people who have ulcerative colitis, I think the rate is that you're more likely to lose your large intestine. Yeah, but I'm not taking away from Crohn's at all. It's, you know, they're both just as appalling as each other.
Yep.
I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, had never heard of it in my life. And there I was at 19 years old being handed pamphlets about how my life was never going to be the same, how I had to be cautious about what medications to be on when I was trying to fall pregnant. And like, pregnancy at 19 years old was the last thing on my mind. So I was at uni at the time. I had to pull out because I was put on a lot of really heavy drugs that really affected my personality. I couldn't really sit still. I was on a lot of steroids. And for basically fast forward 6 years, I spent 6 years just trying drugs, failing at drugs, losing a lot of weight, having a lot of accidents, like literally pooing myself in public. Constantly, I would have days, I was going to the bathroom more than 50 times a day. There were nights when I'd sleep with my pillow in the bathroom because I wasn't even able to run from one end of the house to the other. And yeah, it got to the point where I was about 33 kilograms. I was living in Townsville with my first boyfriend, who was now turned fiance. And my gastroenterologist had said to me that he didn't want to have a patient die under his care, and he had to discharge me. So he said, you have to move to a new city because either way, you're going to need emergency surgery. I was very, very, very stubborn for the idea of surgery. And so within 2 weeks, my partner and I upped and left, moved to Brisbane. 2 days later, I was in hospital with having like blood transfusions, and was put under anesthetic so that the Brisbane gastroenterology team could see the extent of my disease. And I was really struggling to wake up from that anesthetic. And because it was a twilight anesthetic, it really kind of showed testament to how much I was really just kind of falling away. So the gastroenterology department in Brisbane approached my bed, and they said, okay, you can either go home and we can give you things to manage, whatever we can try and manage, even though I'd tried every drug and it had miserably failed me. Or you can go through with the surgery. And the only reason I went through with the surgery was because it was just really affecting my family. I think they were really struggling to see me kind of just die on them. Mm. And so 2 days later, I went in for emergency surgery and I lost my large intestine. It was replaced with an ostomy bag. So it's an external pouch that sits on your stomach, and you don't go to the bathroom at all, or your poo goes into the bag. Mm. And so, yeah, I had that for a year and then went back under anesthetic, had the bag removed, and they pulled my small intestine back into my body to connect to my rectum. And now I just don't have a large intestine. So yeah, that's like the medical journey.
That's incredible. Incredible as in what you've been through and who you are and coming through it. Not incredible, obviously, wishing that upon you. But you say it was such rawness and realness. It's like, I think you kind of said it. It's not really highly spoken about, or it's maybe a taboo thing talking about going to the bathroom in public and not even being able to make it down the hallway at your own house and having to sleep in the bathroom. Like, that's the reality of what you were experiencing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what was the recovery like from there? So from when you had that operation, when were you back to normal, or do you still obviously deal with it to today? Is life pretty normal now? Like how did that go from there?
Life's as normal as I think it ever will be. And I really manage my symptoms a lot now. I think one thing you really learn from dealing with an autoimmune disease or any life-changing health situation is you really learn to tap into your body and listen to it a lot more. So I'm very good at listening to my body. I think for about 3 to 4 months after my second surgery, so when I lost my bag and just now have the J pouch, the internal pouch, I had severe pouchitis, which is inflammation of the pouch, for a good couple months after that. And that was I was pretty housebound with that, and I really struggled. It took me back to having ulcerative colitis, and I thought, what have I done? Why have I gone through with the second surgery? I've just gone back to having ulcerative colitis again. But now I think I just manage my symptoms really well. I eat certain foods, I avoid other foods, I really take care of my emotional well-being, my stress, and make sure that I'm resting adequately. So all my friends are like, oh, Jess, you're such a nanny, you go to sleep at 7:30. And I'm like, no, I need to, believe me. So yeah.
It's and I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. There's benefits to everything, and it, whatever you go through serves you in the long run for the greater reason. So I'll go back to that later. What I would love to hear is through that, I guess that you use the word of you, a year of suffering and silence, but then also the suffering or the pain or the, I guess while you're going through the journey of coming to a solution, like I'm going to assume there were some really tough moments for you, like from the moments of sleeping in the bathroom for obviously reflecting your relationship, your friendships, your university and your study life, your family life, your going down to 33 kilos. Holy shit. Yeah. That is not a lot of weight. That so like just going through that and going through those tougher periods, how did you get through it? Like, and not to just, maybe you had those thoughts of taking your own life maybe you didn't, but I know people that have gone through less, and I know that's perspective on your life, but how did you keep going through that without taking that option? If you did you have any thoughts like that? Did you ever consider that, or was that ever an option?
I did it one. There was one moment in particular. I remember kind of visiting that thought, and it was when I had basically been, I was really crossing my fingers for this drug to work. And it was the
Was this the first or the second operation? Whereabouts was
The first. Sorry, the first. Everything. After I had the bag, I got my life back, and I didn't even care that I had a bag anymore. I was just like, oh my gosh, I can live again. Awesome. Leave my house without shitting myself. It's great. but yeah, while I had the ulcerative colitis for those 6 years, I think, the only time I really hit rock bottom was when I had trialed my second last drug and it failed. And yeah. I was at this point of just feeling like, whoa, I am so stuck. There's no way out of this. Yeah. And it was more so just feeling so sorry for all my friends and family, because I knew they were trying so hard to support me, and I just felt like such a burden on them that I was like, oh my gosh, this disease isn't getting any better and everyone's so worried about me. Other than that though, I think I really had to try, and every time I'd have an accident in public, rather than crying, which I did, look, it accompanied crying every single time, but I had to laugh at myself, and I just thought, it's okay. It's fine. Like, just have a laugh, Jess, because if I wasn't going to laugh and look at the humorous side of it, I would have just, yeah, not been able to cope with life at all. And also I latched onto, and this is a terrible pattern that I've brought through with me, and which is one of the reasons that I wrote my book. I latched onto control in every single way that I could. Because I couldn't control my disease, I tried to control everything else in my life. So that was a coping mechanism for me that worked in the life. But now I look and I'm like, okay, cool, Jess, you can release that now. but yeah, it was just, I do remember even being in hospital and nurses being like, wow, you're so optimistic for someone who's going through so much.
Yeah.
But I think that was the only option I had to be. Otherwise life would be too difficult and I wouldn't want to be on the planet anymore. So
where does that come from though? And not to take away, maybe it's just who you are and you're just a beautiful, you just use the word, you just said it then, the nurses said you're so optimistic. Where does that come from, and how could we bottle that up and give that to other people? Because it's like, there's people, like I've had clients or worked with people, just spoken to people, and they're depressed because their boyfriend hasn't texted them back, or they're having a shit day because the traffic's bad or the weather's bad, or like their perspective on life and the contrast of what a real problem is severely, like, it's obviously they're doing them, and that's different. Problems are different to everyone. Trauma is different to everyone. So, absolutely. But just like your ability to be so optimistic and have such a positive outlook on things when life was throwing you some curveballs, where did that come from? Were you like a kid? Is that a kid thing? Like, where your parents are that? Where does that come from?
I actually think I just, And I just think I looked at it, I just tried to look at it with a different take on things. And I just thought there's a bigger picture to this and there's a reason this is happening. And I look back in hindsight now and I think I should have just, I wasn't surrendering to anything. I was trying to control things. And in those moments, I just thought, okay, Jess, this isn't meant to happen. You're trying to go down a path you're not meant to go down. And so every time I kept hitting these roadblocks, I just kept thinking, it's fine. You're meant to do this. You're meant to hit this because there's another way. It was just really
like even that dialogue.
Yeah.
That dialogue you're saying is amazing. How come that versus like why is my life so shit? You'll get an answer. Why me? Why
it's like but we always have an answer. Yeah. Well, there's always an answer. There's always an excuse, and it's whether you sit at the cause of your life or the effect of your life. And I really did take that route of, oh my gosh, this is happening to me. Why is it happening to me? Why are all my friends living normal lives? And I'm the one that has to, like, what did I do to deserve this life? But I think I really sat in it and I blamed myself. And I thought, Jess, you worked way too hard at school. You put way too much pressure on yourself. I knew I wasn't meant to be in the relationship that I was in. And I just blame myself. I thought, no, you deserve this, Jess. You need to pull yourself out of this because you put yourself here. And I knew I kept hitting these roadblocks because I wasn't meant to be where I was meant to be. And I just kept trying to push through. So I don't know if this is answering it anymore, but.
Like you kind of answer it, but it's like you answer it in a way where it's like, holy shit. Like if people just take that perspective on life, holy shit. So before we move on to the next part, the last question I'll ask on that is, you said you were fighting it, you would sit with it, and then you started to blame yourself. Can you remember a time where that actually happened? Was there like a pinnacle part where it's like you sat in there? Because it's like I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins, and he's like, it's like he talks about a threshold of pain. It's like when you're in a relationship where it's not shit, but it's not amazing. It's kind of like, he says, lukewarm. It's like, it's okay. It's like, it's all right. But it's like when you get to a point where it becomes so fucking painful and you hit that threshold where you say, fuck this, I've had enough. I'm out, or I'm going to put my foot down or lie in the sand, whatever. It's like, did you have that? Was there a moment like that? Because you said you were fighting it, but then there was you changed. So was there something like that that gave you that? Was it a book you read? Where did that come from?
I can't really remember something that was the turning point for my ulcerative colitis and deciding to go through with the surgery. Like if there was a point where I just thought, no, okay, wait, do you mean the blaming myself?
That part.
I think,
And you might not have thought about it until now.
Do you know what? Yeah, I do. And it's weird because I don't even think I've said this out loud. When I was first diagnosed, for a very brief period of about 6 months to a year, I stabilized myself on a lot of steroids and some maintenance drugs. And I felt relatively normal in that time, and I self-medicated and took myself off the drugs. And I should never have done that. I should have stayed on the maintenance drugs, and I didn't, because I thought, no, I'm feeling fine. I don't want to be on these drugs. I'm going to take myself off. And 3 months later, I spiraled heavily and I never came out. That's when everything went really south. And through everything for the next couple years, I just kept thinking, it's your fault. You should have stayed on the drugs. And I do think that no matter whether I did or I didn't, I would have reached this point of needing to go through with the surgery. But in those moments when I was like curled over the toilet, crying with blood gushing out of my bum, I would be like, you should have taken the damn medication, Jess. So yeah.
That's incredible. I could just ask more questions around that, but there's more to you than just that. If you mind going on the book, so what inspired you to write the book? What's in the book? What's the message that you've put into that? Like why the book? Just Tell us about the book.
Yeah, so after everything I'd been through with my disease and now coming out and looking normal, just apart from a couple of scars on my stomach, I came out and I thought, okay, cool. I left the relationship and I thought, onwards with life. And as much as I tried to move onwards with life, I had developed these patterns, these ways of thinking that really just kept following me and kept pulling me back into the disease, emotionally rather than physically. And I became really stuck in my past, even though my body was now capable of going forth with life. And I had no idea what to do because I thought, okay, I don't really want to revisit what I've been through. It was so traumatic. I don't never want to think about those things again. But I realized that I had to because it was going to teach me how to go forwards in life. And so I had to go back and unpack everything. And that's when I wrote my book because I realized I had so much to say. But really going back and sitting with everything I'd been through and making connections and kind of sifting through everything like a mind map to see the bigger picture in it. And I also remember when I was first diagnosed, I joined these Facebook groups that you kind of go for support, but everyone, I love support groups. I feel they serve a purpose. A lot of people asking for support are going through a lot of shit. And so all the comments and all the questions are more negatively geared. And I remember when I was 19 going on and just seeing all these people having so many dramas with their disease. And I thought, oh, there's no life after this. Like, this is a death sentence to me. And I wrote the book for my 19-year-old self who needed someone to say, hey, life's going to be okay no matter what happens, what path this goes down, whether you have surgery or not. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. So, yeah.
What was your process like? Because something that I've learned and I teach to clients is the process. You said it in your way. Is it, until you're okay and even grateful for everything that you've been through, good or bad, because that's just your perspective. Until you become grateful for absolutely anything and everything, it will continue to affect you. As you said, you couldn't leave it there because it was going to come back and you couldn't move on, which is another way of saying that. What was it like writing the book from a therapeutic side of things for you? For you, it's kind of like you've published like your own journaling of your journey, right? So what was that like to go through? And essentially, like, say you've been through trauma, it's like journaling your trauma to a degree. And I've never worded it like that, but what was that like from a therapeutic sense for you writing that from your experience?
It was really hard. There were days when I would have to write a chapter and then go away and think about it. I'd cry about it and then I'd come back and rewrite it. It was, and each chapter was written at least a couple times over because I'd go in it and write it one way and realize it was coming from this place of being hurt rather than this place of seeing the bigger picture. And then I'd go away and think about the bigger picture and I'd be like, oh, but no, but that needed to happen. So, I'll go back and just like change that up a little bit. So it was really back and forth and it was really hard in certain chapters. I think it really though, for me writing it all out, I was like, just when I came out of being sick, I thought I hadn't accomplished anything in my life. And I was in this state of feeling like everyone else had been through, like they were all married with kids and having job promotions. And I was single, sick, well, recently sick, and hadn't even finished a uni degree. And I think I was underestimating just the fact that life, your success doesn't have to be measured with all these concrete things that people think you need to be successful. Like I conquered a disease that almost killed me and I feel like that's pretty damn special. So
incredible.
Yeah, it really made me reflect on my self-worth and the love I needed to give myself. So yeah.
What's the message that you have for the world? What's your message to people?
Just don't resist anything. Whatever's meant to happen is meant to happen. And it is like, you know, a lot of people say that and I really, really embody that because I had chosen not to surrender for such a long time. I'm just like, really just lean into everything that scares you and let it guide you because it's meant to take you where it wants to go. Even though you don't want to go there, you're meant to be there. So yeah.
If you might not have been conscious to until I ask you this, but do you have like a bit of a mental pattern? No, you use the word patterns actually. You've done your NLP qualification as well. Like, do you have, because it's like, it's kind of like one or two people. You're either one or two. It's like when life is uncomfortable, you fucking run away from it. Or you say, you know what, this is here for a reason. This is serving me. Yeah. There's growth, opportunity, lessons here. I'm going to go into that. What do you go through in yourself? So say today something pops up and it's confronting and you've got that fear or that whatever emotion coming up that makes you potentially not want to do it. What do you mentally do to yourself to actually follow through it versus fucking run away from it? You might not.
I feel like I sit in it and I'm like, okay, why am I triggered by this? Or what's happened in my past that's made me have this thought or have this mental position towards that thing? And then I kind of go back and push myself through that past thought to be like, okay, well, that was in the past. It's not now. So kind of lean into it rather than back away from it, because I feel like this is a lesson that's guiding me towards something. So even if it is a lesson that I need to learn from my past, I feel like it was given to me for a purpose. So
absolutely. That's the belief. I was just wanted to hear it from your mouth. what's next for you, Jess? Like you've been through, how old are you now? Sorry. How old are you?
Oh my gosh. I'm 29 next week.
29. You look phenomenal. Yeah. Look.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
what's next for you? You've been through this experience and a half. You've written a book about it now. You've done your NLP qualification as well.
Yeah.
What's next for you? We're kind of talking about this before we jumped on this call.
I know. I need to get, there are a couple things that I need to, which we were talking about before. I'm going to start taking clients for NLP. And at the moment, I'm just working through my own resistance towards, what we were saying, just old patterns and ways of thinking where I self-worth related. Awesome. So, yeah.
And the thing is that like, whenever, some people, when you see like someone they look up to, like on Instagram, who's doing really well in business or they're doing really well in their health, or they're just doing well in some area. Like you kind of, a lot of people pedestal them and they think like they've got their shit together. Like like they look at Jess, she's been through this incredible experience. She's come through the other side. She's written a book. Looks amazing. Such an incredible, optimistic person. It's like, you've still got things you're working through. I've still got things I'm working through.
I know. It's a weird thought, because you put people on pedestals and you don't realize that they're not on the pedestal themselves. I put people on pedestals and I don't realize that people put me on a pedestal and I'm like, oh no, take me off. I am so not worthy of that.
And the thing one of the things I really value from you just from this conversation is just how vulnerable you are. Obviously being through the experience you are, where obviously going to the bathroom in public and going through what you have experienced, it's obviously maybe forced you to have to do that. But just being able to, like you said, that's very demartini when I hear the word pedestal. It's like when you pedestal someone, you minimize yourself. So if you look up to someone, you're actually looking down on you. So but being able to be vulnerable and be on the same level as someone allows you to connect with someone. So it's I do love what you said. I would love to know where could people find you if they wanted to connect with you, if they wanted to grab the book themselves, if they wanted to just reach out from what they've heard today, where could they find you?
I think the easiest thing is just message me on Instagram, because I can send you a link. But my Instagram is jessa.mann. Otherwise, you can also, if you want to buy my book, it's on the website. It's buy.jessicamann.com.
Amazing. Jess, is there any departing words that you'd like to share about you and anything we've spoken about today?
Lewis, I think you did an amazing job of covering everything.
Well, Jess, thank you for your time, guys. Thank you for listening. And if you got any value from this, guys, please share it around, send it to a friend. And again, thank you, Jess, for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Lewis.